I'm going to come up with a list of everybody who's worked so hard to make this happen, but I don't have it in my hand now. So we have our note taker here, who is Adrienne. Now, I'm going to hand off right now to Jane Rands, who's our local candidate for the 46th Assembly. Jane.
Good morning and welcome to Fullerton. The Orange County Greens hosted a plenary a couple years ago in Dana Point, but we hosted here in Fullerton about 7-8 years ago. That was also when there was a gubernatorial election. We had a great event at Cal State Fullerton. We've sort of downsized this year, but it seems appropriate because we've got a really great group of energetic people here. If there's anything you need any time during this event, I can be your go-to person if you need anything. I'm not sure if Dave mentioned, we've got bathrooms out here where you register, just behind that little kiosk. There's restrooms. Our kitchen's in the back. We're going to be setting up food in the back for lunch. So we're going to be doing all of our meeting and our eating in here. We also have a called the VIP room. When you go through this main area here to the right, we'll be using that for some breakout sessions. But we're also using it at 12:30. We're having a press conference with our candidates. And then, and that precedes the 1 o'clock candidate forum. Just to give you an idea, I know this was be more of a big opening welcome, but I have to tell you that I was more interested in preparing your food and your tables and your chairs than I was in preparing a speech. So I just really want to make sure your needs are met and that you're happy when you're here. If you have any questions about places to go for dinner, if you haven't found a place to stay yet, please let me know. We'll try to help you out, work you out with whatever you need. So welcome. Thank you for being here. I hope you're comfortable. Again, anything you need, let us know, and we'll try to do the best we can to make sure you're happy and comfortable. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to get started here. First of all, everyone who's supposed to be a delegate, make sure that you have signed in at the delegate table and got your card, your dark green delegate voting card. Okay, and the accreditation table informs us that we have reached opening quorum with 7 regions present, so we can proceed with the meeting. Yeah, that's always a major accomplishment, isn't it? We need to recruit a couple of helping hands for this meeting. And we need a timekeeper, someone to time the presentations and give us a signal when the time is over. Skills include the ability to tell time and have a watch. That helps, too. Can we get a volunteer for timekeeping? Okay, can we get a volunteer for timekeeping, please? Okay, thank you. And your name? Merrily. Okay, I thought you looked familiar. For time. And we need a pair of vibes watchers. We usually get 2 people, male and female. Vibes Watcher is, they're the people who sort of monitor the mood and tone of the discussion, and if things are getting a little too tense or people getting a little too drowsy or something, it's their job to basically stand up and halt the process and get everybody to take 10 and chill out a little bit. So we're looking for, like I said, 2 vibes watchers, male and female. Can we have 2 people who feel they could do that job? Volunteer, please. Okay. again, Vibes Watchers. We're looking for a couple of people. Okay, I've got one volunteer, KCM. Can we get a male Vibes Watcher? Thank you. And your name?
Michael.
Michael what?
Michael McHugh.
Michael McHugh, thank you. Okay. Tell you what, we're going to.
There's been a request to open with an employment of the sound for some green person besides Linda Pierre from Green Finder. I don't know. I'll ask her to come.
I got stuck doing delegate orientation. You want to ask them to confirm the facilitators, and then I'll walk people through this chart.
Okay. So, so as I used to tell my fifth grade class, I'm not going to talk while you are.
Hi, can we get some, can we focus up here, please?
Hi.
That's not a vibe.
Now, seriously, folks, please take the side discussions outside.
Almost. We used to do this, then. Okay, thank you. So the first thing we need to do is confirm your facilitators for the morning. So the facilitators for the morning, if it's okay with you, are Jim Stoffer and myself, Sandra Everest. Okay, and then Jim is going to talk about delegate orientation.
Yeah, we're required by our bylaws to give a little orientation of orientation on delegate responsibilities and how our decision process works. And if you look on page 3 of your agenda packet, you'll see a flow chart that explains all this. I'll ask, are there any... Yes? Can you look onto someone else's next to you there? Okay, well, there's nothing we can do about it up here, I'm afraid. Sorry. Okay, so are there any new people here? People coming to this meeting, one of these general assemblies for the first time? Okay, a couple, three. Okay. So, let's walk through the process a little bit. I mean, basically, we use a consensus-seeking process. And as the flowchart says, basically what happens is, you know, a presenter comes up here and makes a presentation of a proposal that was in the agenda packet and was circulated out to the counties. So the first step in the consensus process is to, after the presentation is made, is to ask for clarifying questions. Those are questions not about the content of the proposal itself. It's a question about, do I understand what's being proposed? Are we clear on what we're being asked to decide? It's those kinds of clarity things. And then after the clarifying questions are answered, then we get into concerns and affirmations. And the concerns and affirmations are where you talk about the substance of the proposal. Do you agree with it or not, and why not? And when we talk, and we do call it concerns and affirmations because people will express concerns, they don't like a certain part of it. Affirmations are, you know, I really do like this and I think we should support it for these reasons. And we collect all those, and basically, as time allows, which is always the devil in this, consensus works great if you have a lot of time to debate all the issues, but we do have to run along on this. So after all the concerns have been heard, there is the presenter does make every effort to try and you know, resolve the concerns, come up with... certainly, if you raise a concern, it's a really good thing to have a friendly amendment involved here, and that's, you know, making a suggestion on how to fix it so it's acceptable. That always helps a lot. So the concerns are recorded by the note taker, well, most of the proceeding is, and the presenter works on trying to resolve the concerns and thanks the people for the affirmations, and then... basically, we test for consensus, and that's basically just a call out to the delegates in the room if there are any unresolved concerns remaining. And if there are, the presenter basically has three options at that. If there's time left, you can the presenter can continue trying to work on the concerns and get them resolved. Presenter can... take the proposal back to the committee that sponsored it and try to work out the problems. Or, well, there is one statement in the bylaws about forming an ad hoc committee to try and work on those, but that's usually, if it's a really big proposal on some big, huge project, you might do that. Most proposals are fairly smaller in size. And the final option is to go to our voting option, because remember, consensus requires, you know, everyone approving. Our voting option is uses super majority thresholds, and the thresholds needed are 2/3 approval if it's a business decision and 80% approval if it's a policy decision. And that is basically how decisions are made at a General Assembly. Are there any questions? Okay, very good. Now, we have to... the next item is approval of the agenda. The agenda is listed on page 2, and we're... Yes? Okay, it's really quick, right? It's really quick.
Hey, folks, on Clearinghouse Newspapers platforms, if you would please see me or Barry Hermanson, we really need to collect money for anything you pick up off of the table. So if you pick some stuff up, just come and see me, and we'll get you supplied with buttons, bumper stickers, newspapers, reg forms for stuffing in our papers, etc., etc. And I'll be around, Barry will be around all day today and tomorrow. Thank you.
Wait a minute, what's going on? Okay, can we do that after we get we got to do some juggling on the agenda. Can we get that set and then we'll do that? Yeah, okay. Okay, we're going for gender approval, and the schedule is on page 2, and there are some changes we have to make at this point. And can we really hold down the side conversations, folks? Okay, so the items at 9:45 and 10 o'clock, there were two elections scheduled, and we're not going to have either one of those elections today. So basically, Sanda is going to be giving a report on GPUS, so she's going to consume some of that time in with her report that is scheduled at 10:30. And for the other 15-minute slot, we have a new item that's asked to come to the agenda. It's just It's not a decision item at this point. It's a last-minute proposal from Dorothy Kemeny. It has to do with Leonard Peltier, our great political prisoner, and she'll explain the proposal and what it is and how, because of the lateness of it, because she didn't have time to get it into the agenda packet, it's basically a resolution that she wants the Green Party to affirm, and she's going to take it to the coordinating committee and ask them to make, you know, the formal decision on it. She just wants to present it here so you know what's going on, pass out copies so everybody reads it, and, you know, if you have any concerns, you have a chance to talk to her about it. But we'll plug that one into, you know, like 9:45. Actually, can we get a scribe to come up here and write a few notes on this pad? Please, that would be very helpful. Okay, and just so schedule changes at 9:45. Okay, just get at 9:45. It's going to be the Leonard Peltier resolution. And 10:30 will be a half-hour report on GPUS. The question back there? Well, if you could talk to the host committee, because I'm not from Orange County, and you do have some spare copies. Okay, well, is there or is there not someone going out and making copies? I don't understand. Okay, well, yeah, I'm sorry. We just don't appear to have any extra copies. We usually don't get this request. The only thing I can do is ask people to share if people don't have copies of the agenda with them. Where were we? Oh, okay. Then we go. Changes to the agenda. Don't worry about it. Okay, so if I could have your attention, please, we're going to ask for formal approval of the agenda, and includes these two relatively minor timing changes. So, this is the agenda as approved. Are there any clarifying questions? Yes, and could we have people with questions and comments please come up and speak into the microphone? We're already over time. Where's our timekeeper? Who the hell was our timekeeper? Maryland.
Michael Rubin, Alameda County. My question is the question of appropriations for the candidates. It has not been resolved, so is there going to be an item placed on the agenda so that we may resolve the question of appropriations to the candidates?
Kendra Gonzalez is doing that during what was scheduled for the ballot initiatives, since that passed by county polling. She's using that to discuss that issue and some other campaigns and candidate things. Okay, any other clarifying questions on approving the agenda? Okay, are there any concerns with approving the agenda? Okay. Seeing no concerns expressed, the agenda is adopted. Okay, now we have a request for a one-minute statement and introduction. Well, you'll hear it. It's going to be very brief.
You're doing it?
Okay, well.
Yeah.
We just learned from John Strawn, who was a Green in Santa Barbara for us for many years, that Nancy Broyles, one of our state party co-founders, recently passed away. She was 83, and she was from the Santa Barbara area, was with us from the start of our state party, organized both on the state and nationally, and was really a deep green in terms of her values, but also worked really hard in the electoral side. And when Mindy Lorenz became our first ever partisan candidate in California, Nancy was her campaign manager and the driving force before her. And John suggested that we take a moment of silence and just dedicate this state party weekend to her memories. For those of you who don't know her, she was just a beautiful person. And for those of you who do or remember her, hold her in your thoughts, and we're just going to take a moment of silence for her.
Okay, thank you. The next item on the agenda was a consent calendar, but this is the first state meeting I've ever been to where we don't have any items on our consent calendar. thank you, Barry. The next item is approval of the previous meeting minutes. As has been our procedure, the previous minutes were posted online. They've been posted online for several months. And most of our work is done in between meetings on the Internet. So I hope you all got to see them. And if you didn't, you could have. But anyway, so are there any outstanding concerns about approving the minutes from our last meeting? Seeing none, we have consensus. Okay, the next agenda item is the proposal on bylaws change. That's right, the Leonard Pelletier. Who is presenting? There you are.
Just a few minutes. Five at the most. Six. I hope you all received a handout about the Leonard Peltier proposal that it was Deacon Alexander's idea. I think it's terrific that a Green Party initiate and circulate a petition for the president to ask for clemency for Leonard Peltier. I hope that you all are familiar with his case. Is there anyone here that doesn't know? Okay, to enlighten you. Leonard was arrested, I believe, in 1975 for shooting two FBI agents. He, along with along with three other people who were eventually, they were all released. Thank you. Found not guilty on the basis of self-defense. However, Leonard Peltier was held, and we regard him as a political prisoner. And he is the longest held political prisoner in this country, and it's about time he is released. Eugene? Yes. Did everybody hear that? Okay. So he is also suffering from illness. His lawyers are trying to, at this time, to get him released with a compassionate release. That would be done through the warden of the prison. I don't know if he's still in Leavenworth. They keep changing the prisons where he's being held. I did talk to his defense committee personnel, and she said this is a terrific idea. There has never been a political party that has had a petition for Leonard, and of all the organizations that have petitioned for his release, all the people that have asked for his release, all of this was put aside. And we're hoping now that the act of having a political party stand up for him will carry weight. The committee certainly thinks it will. And like I said in the paper, it's a win-win situation because we're doing this basically, Deacon's idea was, how do we grow the Green Party? And the best way to grow the Green Party is through some action, some great action. And this is one action that we feel that is a very good green action. It's, you know, works for minorities, it's equality, it's justice, it's all that Greens stand for. And if we can at least make this effort, and what we're doing is we want the endorsement of the Green Party. Right now, today, we will have a, how would you say, we're having an honorary signing of a petition. We hope to do that today. That would be sponsored by the alliance between Watts and Long Beach and Orange County. And but what we need is the endorsement of the Green Party. So we're bringing it forward to you to consider, and I thank you for your attention.
Okay, just to be clear, even you, we can certainly give our sense of our body and so like that, but we can't take a vote because it was not presented to the plenary in advance. But it is being brought to the CC, and the CC can make that decision. Okay, so now the next item is a proposal. A change in the bylaws and committee terms, and it's being presented by the coordinating committee. And who's presenting that proposal, Mike?
No. It's bylaws.
Okay, bylaws committee. Okay.
Well, why don't you present and you take the staff after?
Yeah.
Morning. Morning. This proposal is presented by bylaws. We took it to the CC so we could get as much buy-in for bringing it in front of the plenary as possible. The idea behind the proposal is many of our committees are the lifeblood of our party in working on finance, bylaws, whatnot, and the committee membership rules have become a little complicated over the years, and many of the rules in our bylaws we have sought to simplify to make it easier for people to serve. So if you'll notice on, I believe it's page 6 of your packet, you've got merely a wording change in how the 8 members of each of our standing committees are appointed and the length of terms. We had a way of putting them on committees that had to do with first year, second year, and it was a tad complicated. It's not made it conducive for more people serving. It's made it difficult for the CC to
be notified when to appoint. And it's also made it difficult for the co-coordinators of our groups to keep track of their membership. So we'd like to ask permission to simplify that to a simple two-year term. From the date that the CC appoints the committee member, which is where committee members are appointed from that date of appointment, it is a simple two-year term. At the end of that two-year term, the term is over. The person could reapply, or the CC or the committee could refill that position. So we tried to make it as simple a bylaw proposal as we've ever had, and I know that's an anathema to some Greens, but I'll stop there, and the facilitator can take it from there.
Okay, are there any clarifying questions? Come up to the microphone, please. Anyway, and if you have clarifying questions, please come to the mic. And you also, if you want to queue up for concerns and affirmations at the same time, if anyone has any concerns or affirmations, please line up.
This isn't a question about the proposal itself, but on the background, we don't know what an SC is because we're not familiar that much with the process.
Standing committee. Okay, that was a good clarifying question. Okay, concerns and affirmations? Oh, we've already answered it.
In answer to your clarifying question, standing committees take care of the internal work of the party, bylaws, finance, media, whatnot, 8 members per group plus a CC liaison. The working groups grow campaigns and candidates. There are larger, more wider groups that take care of sort of the external business of the party. So this has to do with these finite committees that are appointed by the CC. Does that answer your question? Thank you.
And let me remind people that before you speak, please state your name and your county for the note taker.
Mike Feinstein, LA County. Yes, this is a snoozer, but it's a good one. And for those of you who usually see me and Michael fight on bylaws, I support this 100%. It was a totally unworkable one that we used to fight over, even what it meant, even when on the coordinating committee we tried to enforce it. We couldn't even agree on what it meant. So it's a good move. Thank you for bringing it forward.
Okay, are there...
Gosh. Thank you for the affirmation, Mr. Feinstein.
Any outstanding concerns? Hearing none, we have consensus and moving quickly through the agenda.
Thank you very much. That was the quickest bylaw this party has ever done.
Okay. All right. So right now, for the benefit of those of you, actually, I'm going to just take a moment and explain what the GPUS delegation is, because I know, does everybody in the room know what the GPUS delegation is? Because I have a feeling there's new people that probably don't know. Okay. So California, the Green Party of California is a member of, is an affiliated state party with Green Party United States. To that end, there are delegates, this body elects delegates to represent California to the Green Party of the United States. So you have a delegate, we're allocated about 35 people, we have a little bit less than that right now, but the Green Party of the United States has an annual meeting just like we have this state meeting. So we had an annual meeting in Detroit the third week in June, I believe, and about a dozen people from California attended. So I'm going to ask right now anybody from the delegation who was at the annual national meeting who wants to share a little bit of their experience of that meeting to come on up. Okay. Yeah, I thought Barry was going to come on up, too. But as a preface to it, what was very unique about the meeting this year, I really needed to, there not to be talking in the room. It's my learning disability. I just can't function with there's background noise. So what was really unique about our meeting this year is there was an event called the U.S. Social Forum, which has happened about approximately every 2 years, and there was a decision to tie in the Green Party National Meeting with the U.S. Social Forum. So the U.S. Social Forum happened in Detroit for almost a week, and our meeting was at the end of that week. So it gave an opportunity for Greens to meet with other progressives around the country for that whole week, and there was like 1,000 different sessions, and we did a lot of videoing of it. There's also a Green Party television station, you know, like, and so some of that information is on the internet on live stream. Anyway, I'll let the other people share some things first too. Okay, Barry, you want to go ahead?
A low microphone.
Yeah, right. Oh, somebody. Yeah, well, just take it out. Oh, there we go. Hey.
Yeah. For those of you who were not there, it's really too bad. It was such a wonderful week. I actually didn't attend a whole lot of the Green Party meeting because I had car trouble that I had to deal with. Running back and forth to mechanic shops, but overall, it was just fabulous to be there with 20,000 progressives from all over the country, and I noticed that there was, of course, everybody brought their literature, and there was this table which gradually was just become stacks and stacks and stacks of literature, and people were putting it. On the floor, around building, you know, support things, and just anticipating that folks would walk by and pick this stuff up. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, a lot of it went in the trash. But it was, Green Party stuff got picked up. There was stuff out there from the local Green Party, the Michigan Green Party, I think, and we also had something from the National Party, I believe, a little newspaper type thing. People were picking it up, and they would go down the list, and there'd be this huge mess of other stuff, and our stuff was being picked up. So anyway, it was an extraordinary opportunity. Whoever thought of doing that, of combining, having our meeting at the same time as a U.S. Social Forum, a stroke of genius, as far as I'm concerned. So it's always a good thing to be able to get our national party as well as our state party together. To be able to a little face-to-face time is wonderful. I don't know about you, but email is just, it has, it's well said, very well said. Thank you. I spend most of my time handing out this stuff to people. I stood out in the middle of Cobo Hall and handed out postcards and wore a larger version of that painting over there. So.
Hello, my name is Laura Wells, and I'm from Alameda. I always want to say I'm from the country of California. And so I just wanted to say something really quickly about the U.S. Social Forum as well. I wasn't there as a delegate, but I went there as a Green and as somebody who actually graduated from college in Detroit. At Wayne State University is where I went to school, which is downtown Detroit. And that's where I learned outside of the classroom about corporations and America, the big three, and also Nader. You know, that's where he sort of got his start, was going up against the courage of going up against the big three automakers. But what was really inspiring, and I'll talk more about the leaflets later, but on one side of my new version of leaflet, which I just picked up on Thursday, is people's movement building momentum. And I was completely inspired by the U.S. Social Forum. And in Detroit, the slogan for the World Social Forum, which happened about a year after the big protests against the WTO in Seattle, what happened in Brazil was World Social Forum. This is what we want. And the slogan was, another world is possible. The U.S. Social Forum, the first one was in Atlanta 3 years ago. The slogan for that was, another world is possible, another U.S. is necessary. So now this is the second U.S. Social Forum. It was in Detroit, which, you know, if what's good for General Motors is good for the USA, anybody that still believes that should visit Detroit. But it was, another world is possible, another U.S. is necessary, and another Detroit is happening. And so, and one of the things that is that the U.S. Social Forum showed is that the revolution, the people's revolution, will obviously not be televised. I came back, and I would ask friends of mine that were political or not political. I said, "So, have you heard of the U.S. Social Forum?" And they go, and I say, "Have you heard of the Tea Party movement?" And of course, everybody's heard of the Tea Party movement. Well, that goes along with the corporate complex, as opposed to the people's movement. But who were there were, whatever it was, 18,000, 20,000 people for 4 or 5 days peacefully working toward what we want: housing, school, the environment, healthcare, social justice. And a lot of them were young people. I think it was like half of them were at least young people, and the diversity was the diversity of the country. A people's movement is happening. And I think the fact that we got the two mics together here in the Green Party is a good sign about about how that people's movement of people getting together and working for the good of the people. And so I'll just leave it at that. It's a marvelous thing, and so keep the faith, baby. It is happening.
Yeah. So I might introduce myself. I guess I'm Sandra Everett, and I'm the co-chair of this California delegation. And in 2008, I was elected to be one of 7 co-chairs of the Green Party of the United States. At that same time, Craig Thorson was also elected to be a co-chair of the Green Party of the United States. And I did not choose to run for re-election. Craig did, so he is still a co-chair. And then last year, Mike Feinstein became one of the co-chairs as well. So Craig is going to talk some about the meeting next.
Hi, I'm Craig Thorson from Los Angeles County. The annual national meeting was held in conjunction with the U.S. Social Forum in Detroit, June 2010. The U.S. Social Forum had pre-registration of 12,000 people and finished with 20,000 people. Sand and I worked on registration. I only worked 14 hours. I think she did more. Progressives, 3 kinds of Democrats, at least 5 kinds of socialists, communists, atheists, many authors of books were among the different people that were there. Progressives from across the country met to hear about the issues dealing with labor, employment law, immigration law, healthcare, schools, water, oil and gas drilling, and more. I attended one workshop dealing with the health effects from Agent Orange for the Vietnamese people and the American veterans who participated in the war, and the future problems we will be having from our use of depleted uranium in our ammunition, which is not being talked about at all. Time. Okay. I also attended a workshop dealing with immigration law, history, and the changes which have occurred in the last 50 years. This workshop was expected to have 35 people, had over 175 people show up. It was a good overview, but did not give answers. It did offer some suggestions, which included writing to your House and Senate members, the President, and writing letters to your local newspapers and other media outlets. The annual national meeting had 5 plenary sessions, and please correct me if I have these wrong, 2 which dealt with mission statement and the mission of GPUS, 2 which dealt with finance and the budget, and 1 which dealt with the platform. Many suggestions were made regarding a mission statement for GPUS, because the one we have now is outdated and inaccurate. But a final or finished form for that proposal was not completed during the plenary, during the session in Detroit, and is still being worked on, and you shall be seeing it probably in the next couple months. Input was also made in regard to priorities for the budget, and the finance and fundraising committees have been using those initial offerings in the beginnings of their deliberation, which has been ongoing for a couple months now. New elections for steering committee were held, and I'm sorry I'm repeating what Sanda said. Teresa Elamin from North Carolina, and soon to be Georgia, she's moving, was elected, and Farheen Hakim from Minnesota was elected. Craig Thorson from California was reelected, and I want to thank everybody who voted for me. Farheen was that? Yeah, Julie Jacobson, I'm sorry. My apologies. I get confused because five of the nine of us on the steering committee have Minnesota roots, and so it's so easy to get all of us former Minnesotans confused. Minnesota. I'll also include a small committee report because I think you should know these. The accreditation committee is reviewing four states which were made inactive in January of last year. Those were Alaska, Idaho, Vermont, and Wyoming. The accreditation committee is looking for this January whether we should recommend unaccrediting these states because there is no sign of life in them. Of those four, Vermont has activity, and after the elections in November, we will know whether the other three states have any sign of activity or not. And the accreditation committee might be making recommendations on how Vermont can get more active again. The annual national meeting committee is looking at three venues for 2011. Georgia, Maine, and Minnesota, I believe, are the three. For 2012, there already is discussion about Maine, Georgia, and California. Yes, I'm hoping we get it. The ballot access committee. The Ballot Access Committee has reported that the GPUS now has 32 ballot lines across the nation, which is not bad. I think at our highest, what did we have for you, Pat? Was it 35? 37, yeah. Right, yeah. They have to go through, and we might lose some in November 2010 that we might have to rehash. The Bylaws Committee has mostly been in hiatus this last year, so there's very little to report there. The Candidates and Campaigns Committee, which I think is the most exciting for us to know about, is being reorganized. Jason Nambawaniak and myself are involved with that working group dealing with it. It is aspiring to help with communications and training to state green parties and with campaign schools and candidate recruitment and training and to schedule that within the states, helping provide facilitators and trainers if needed or necessary. It would also help state green parties developing materials to assist with candidates and campaigns, filing for office, organizing their offices and staff, along with lessons learned in prior campaigns by other candidates. The Delegate Apportionment Committee is currently working on a new formula for the apportionment of the National Committee. Warner Bloomberg from California and Craig Thorson are two of the eight members of this elected committee. A survey is being perfected as we speak, which will be asking many questions about the size of the national committee and how it should be apportioned. The pros of having a large national committee is that it better represents all the groups and all the voices. The con in having a large national committee is that it distracts a lot of people from the important work to be done at the state level. So do keep that in mind if you are asked about what size it should be. It's currently at 200 delegates, and people are talking about 75 up to 435. So do pay attention when that comes out. The other questions that they will be asking about is whether the population of the state, the number of candidates running for office, office holders that are elected in the state should be used as criteria. The current options being considered are all states to have exactly two delegates. Representation identical to the congressional district, that's the 435 option. No change from the current apportionment. Please respond promptly if the California Central Committee asks for input, or if they ask your opinion regarding this, please do give your input to the Central Committee so they can respond. The survey will be sent to the co-chairs of each state delegation. The Coordinating Committee. In most other places, they call them Central Committee, so I'm sorry, I'm using national language rather than California language. My apologies. That's the end of my report. Any questions?
Okay, I'm also one of the national co-chairs. A couple quick thoughts. One of the things that went on there on Friday night was that there was a presentation from candidates from all the different state parties who were there. Laura blew people away. She was unbelievable. And it was one of the things that it's really, one of the really exciting things about going to a national thing like that is to see the talented people from different states. It's very inspiring. Two, unexpected pleasure, when we were out late at night outside one of the dorms partying, this woman walked up to a bunch of us and said, "Oh, you guys are the Greens." Turned out her name is Vilma Ortiz. She's from Berkeley. She's a Green. She's a powerhouse, and she's one of the three California Greens who are still in running to be on the Prop 11 Commission for redistricting for the whole state. We had no idea who she was. She found us there. Next issue of Green Focus is going to report on her. Personal observation on Detroit, following up what Laura said about how weird it is because of the economic destruction. Many of you know I'm a rollerblader. I was skating all around downtown Detroit in the middle of the street, and I didn't have to worry about getting hit by a car. Imagine being in the center of the downtown in a major U.S. city, and you can skate around and not have to worry about getting hit. It was like a ghost town on a weekday in the middle of the day. It was bizarre. Okay, politics. I'm Craig. Myself and Warner are on what's called the Presidential Campaign Support Committee. That committee has been given an additional power this year by the National Party to conduct an exploratory effort for president. Timing-wise, what we are trying to do is have the exploratory work completed by March of next year so that the next year annual national meeting already has had outreach happening and will have a sense of who is interested by that time. In that vein, we have put together a draft questionnaire that is going to be far more instructive than anything that has gone out in previous years. That's going to let potential candidates know what the party has to offer. How do you actually seek our nomination? In previous years, it hasn't been clear. You couldn't go to our national website and know how to actually go ahead and how you have to go to different states, and different states have different processes for instructing their delegates, et cetera, et cetera. So that's going to be happening, and the outreach plan, although it's still to be voted on within the committee, looks like it's going to be the following. The first set of outreach is going to go to the following categories. Number one, people who have formerly been our nominees for president or vice president. So that's Nader, LeDuc, Pat, David Cobb, Cynthia McKinney, and Rosa Clemente. So they will get a letter saying, are you interested? And then this whole long questionnaire, a variety of interesting, which once it's approved in our committee, I'll send to our state party. Second, it's going to go to people who have received votes for president at our conventions in a round where if they won a majority, they would have accepted the nomination. What does that mean? We've had a rule nationally. There have been people like we recall Peter Camejo and Howie Hawkins ran as stand-ins for Nader. They weren't going to accept the nomination even if they had gotten all the votes, so they wouldn't count. But people who have been on the ballot and could have won, so they'll get it. And then third, there's the idea of reaching out to well-known existing and former office holders and candidates in our state parties. How we're putting together that list still has a lot of work to be done, but people like Rich Whitney, for example, who got over 10% for governor in Illinois, Jill Stein, who's being included in the debate for governor in Massachusetts, Laura Wells, others like that, major state figures are types who are going to get that. And then the final thing, which is still being worked through, is are we going to do what we did in 2000 with the ASGP, Association of State Green Parties, before we had a national party, where we solicit names of key national figures that state parties think might be interesting to outreach to and send to them. And we can all think of famous progressives. In 2000, you know, we sent it to Chomsky, we sent it to Lester Brown, et cetera, et cetera. Are we going to go ahead and do that sort of thing again. So that's those letters are going to go out in the fall. We're going to be asking the folks if they're willing to have their answers to our questionnaires published on our website, et cetera, to try and make it as transparent as possible so that it's really a level playing field and that we do it early enough before individual people have taken sides with different candidacies so that the process is above reproach as much as possible. Have you ever seen me finish before the end of time? Well, I did it.
There's some questions in the room.
Can people come up to the mic, please?
Yeah. We have how many more minutes?
Four
more minutes. Yeah, we actually have lots of time because we're way behind the schedule, so there's no reason to...
Okay, very quickly, a clarifying question for Craig and one for Michael. Craig, I didn't understand. You were saying that one of the proposals was that there would be 435 delegates at the convention, one for each congressional district. And could you please clarify that? I don't understand that.
The Delegate Apportionment Committee, the DAC, is tasked with deciding determining the size of the national committee and how it would be apportioned by state. And the DAC is only given 6 months to do this. We're 2 months into it. This is just one of the suggestions we're dealing with.
Okay. And so is it too early to ask if the committee is leaning towards making that kind of recommendation?
Most of the sentiment is for a smaller
national
committee. 175, 150, and 120 are all being considered much more serious than a large one.
Thank you. And then the very quick clarifying question that I had for Michael Feinstein was, Michael, when you're doing the outreach for the presidential candidates, what about people like Robert Redford or people who have a national reputation but are not necessarily associated with our political party?
The mix inside the PCSC, Presidential Campaign Support Committee, there are people like myself who believe we should have an aggressive outreach to people who state parties recommend. The people who don't agree with that approach said, oh, we did that before. They're tired of hearing from us from every 4 years. We just look like losers. I believe that we should be outreaching. Better to receive no answer or some answer than not try, personally. And hopefully we'll get those votes on the committee.
So you'll do all of it. So
hopefully that part will be approved.
And thank you. And I'm Michael McHugh from Los Angeles. Sorry.
Thank you. And just to add to Michael's question, let me explain a little bit about the National Committee, because I know we had talk in the past of having this body be a standing General Assembly. In other words, we'd be in session all through the year instead of just having decisions at our state meetings. Well, at the national level, we do have what's called the National Committee, which is like a standing General Assembly. So our business all takes place online all through the year. At the national meeting, we have discussions, but no decisions are made. So there's no voting happening at those meetings. So the number of delegates he's talking about are for this meeting that happens all year by email. So it's not a body like at a convention or a meeting. Peggy?
Hi, Peggy Coate, Team San Luis Obispo County. It might be helpful for people who are national delegates to raise their hand. So that if you have an interest in finding out personal experiences or if you might want to become a national delegate, you could ask us and get enthusiastic about it. Okay. And also, is there an indication, some feeling about where the annual national meeting might be next year? Thank you.
Okay.
You said Georgia, Maine, and...
I think it's Georgia, Maine, and Minnesota. Teresa Elamin is pushing really hard for Georgia. Minnesota thinks that they can arrange it in time. I'm hoping they win.
Okay. It's okay. Yeah, so we just have to get your permission to add more time. Is there any objections to, let's say, adding 10 more minutes to this item? We're way ahead of schedule. Well, I mean, you may not be on. If we needed 10 minutes. Okay, go ahead.
4 points, SKCM Curry, South Central Los Angeles, and Ghana Green. I actually don't need it. I'm saving you. I sing blues, so. Okay. Four things. One, I think we should look at the science about smaller groups. I know people like power and numbers, but in terms of being effective in human dynamics, smaller seems to work. Plenty of surveys and statistics about that. So don't think about losing power, but gaining involvement and being more human in terms of in being inclusive. The second is I'm real concerned to have three European Americans doing anything, especially males, by themselves. It is critically important. I heard three male white names to be over the PCSC Exploratory Committee. I just don't think you have the wherewithal to do in this changing dynamic. I don't know how to get someone of color and women and LGBT involved, and I don't know, but I'm scared for them to do that. As someone who had to finagle and finugle this process in the past, I'm really concerned. Really, especially sounds like everybody from California, we haven't done a good job of doing it in our own state, so I'm real scared. So I'm not sure how to solve that. That was the question. How do we get people of color and other groups involved on the national so that this kind of stuff doesn't happen? I said, all groups, all of us who are not represented here. My third point is about the U.S. Social Forum. I thought that was brilliant, and I'd like us to do it all the time. How can we just tie ourselves as a party? I don't know how to do that, but I think it would be great. You all know more about that. And my last quick point, it was about the outreach. I think we should talk about how to, what we think as Californians generally about the national presidency. I think because there's more of us that vote green, I think, than any other state, we might have ideas. So I'm open. I really want to hear what people think about what, because we have more greens here. What do we think we can do as a state? Just chit-chat. Thanks.
Okay, well, I was going to answer in between. Let me just comment that membership on national committees are open to anybody, so it's like nobody's keeping anybody off national committees. Announcements go out through the county contact list. Unfortunately, that's at this point just about the only way that we're able to reach out to all of California. So if your county is not functioning and distributing that information, So there's a few committees that you have to be a national delegate to be on the committee, but most of them, any green, and we get three members on every single committee. And just because there were three white guys, I'll let him answer about PCSC. Okay, I think I'm, is there any, what, I didn't address? Okay, all right.
All right, let me just briefly touch on the PCSC. Actually, there's four white guys from California, Jared Lady as well. There's only 17 members on the committee. Unlike every other national committee, the way the PCSC works is that there can be as many members from that state as they have national committee delegates. We are entitled to 35 delegates nationally. We could have 35 members on the PCSC. It's wide open. Craig and I actually voted. There's only one woman on the entire committee. Last year, when we were taking a vote for co-chairs, Craig and I actually voted no because we didn't want to select co-chairs until there was more outreach to try and get more women on the committee. So we were even saying, let's not even move ahead. There was outreach over and over again to the National Committee. Nobody came forward. So this is a complete situation where it's as easy to join this committee as anyone in the country, and unfortunately, it's a small number of people doing something that really affects everybody nationally, and it's open to a whole lot of other folks. The other thing that the committee is talking about doing is asking the steering committee to have, well, we've talked about this on our last conference call, we haven't voted on it yet, but having a separate email list for the national committee and possibly for others, specifically and only to talk about 2012, separated from all the noise on the national committee list so we can specifically have a focused place for everybody to talk about it and everybody flow with their ideas.
Michael Rubin, Alameda County. A couple comments and a couple questions. First off, I just want to call to the body's attention that Having spoken with Cindy Sheehan in the last few months, I understand that, but I also understand that she is actively thinking about running for president, and I think that she ought to be solicited by our party regardless of her current registration. That's my personal opinion. I wanted to ask a question about the work of the DAC. I mean, my understanding is that the DAC is also a charge, in addition to the apportionment of the National Committee, but with the apportionment of the National Nominating Convention. So I'm curious to know whether that work is proceeding in the DAC or has been left somewhere else, or what is the status of that apportionment. And the third thing I want to say is about, and this is sort of a comment on the national report. Teresa El Amin, who's the new member of the National Steering Committee, is an old friend of mine. I've known her for years. And while I was in Detroit, she and I and my wife, Janet Arnold, had a conversation. She's very excited about the prospects for rebuilding the Black Caucus in the party. And she believes very firmly that Obama mania is fading even within the African American community, and that the prospects for the Green Party in the African American community are more substantial than they've been in many, many years. And she wants to build the Black Caucus as an entree point for African Americans to come into our party. And I really think that this is important work, and people should be aware of it.
In regard to the comment of FKCM Curry in regard to three white guys, I hope I'm not surprising or shocking any of you, but I'm gay. I know I'm incredibly closeted, and nobody in this room knew this until today, but getting on to the question that was posed, the DAC does not have within its responsibility responsibility for the presidential nominating convention. I approached the DAC to see whether they would be interested or willing, because the people who signed on to be elected to the DAC, reading the mission statement, it does not include anything about the presidential nominating convention. That would have to be happen separately. If we're willing to do it, we could. I don't know if we're going to get around to it, but we might make a suggestion regard to it. But that's under the purview of the National Committee and not the DAC.
Michael Bernstein, El Dorado County. I have a rhetorical question for those of you that are national delegates, or especially in the leadership of the National Party, and that would be, what mechanism could the National develop to help states develop their smaller locals, in that all of our people power, volunteer power, come from locals? And was it you, Sandra, that mentioned that people in the counties need to work in their counties, and then we siphon them off to work in our state structure, and then siphon them off again to work in the national. So, again, I don't need an answer. It might be something for our national delegate, of which we have plenty at the national level, to take forward as an idea of how to take this presidential campaign and other national campaigns and develop those not just Alameda and El Dorado, but what about the little Lake Tahoe and the little people down on the other side of your county? It is those little groups that add up, if you all remember when these plenaries were almost 200 people. And we need that building at the national level also. But I don't know how to do it other than to ask the question of you folks.
Our current national political director, Brent McMillan, has done a wonderful locals organizing manual. And if I can get online and wireless sometime during the day, I'll forward it on to the Cal Forum and other places. So, Michael, there is a wonderful organizing manual for locals that has been developed by our national political director. Number two, one of the funding things that we've been trying to deal with is, can we put a field organizer out to help with candidate training, ballot access? This man is amazing on ballot access.
and locals organizing and the interplay between how much we raise nationally, do we fund our national office, do we fund field people, et cetera. I'll just close then on the question of KCM. It's important to realize on the question about smaller groups or not, California forced the national to go much larger several years ago because we had a lot of issues that we felt necessarily we didn't have as much representation as we should. One of the challenging dynamics is that if you want to have two representatives per state party, but you also want to have each state party to be proportional to its relative strength, and because in the past we have been so much larger than every other state because of our registration, number of elected officials, the large number of votes we get in statewide races, to do both of them at the same time, you have to have a really large national committee. If you want to shrink the national committee and still keep two per state, you can't have full proportionality. So there comes a point, and Craig is working on exactly where that line is, but there is a line, if it gets smaller, you can't keep proportionality. And we even agreed to a cap that we wouldn't be any larger than 21% of the whole national committee, even though we should have been larger proportionally according to our own standards. So that's part of the overall challenge of it, and it's some of it is a numbers game that goes along with the philosophy and how do you mesh the two.
And I want to again ask the body for more time. We're actually our next agenda item isn't due to be start for another half hour, so if this seems to be a conversation of interest, and I certainly could add more to it, so I'm asking for more time. Should we say another 15 minutes?
Finance.
Okay. Yeah, we could all, so that's, yeah, so 15 minutes, and then maybe we can start the breakouts at 10:30 instead of 10:45 so we can have longer breakout sessions. 15 minutes. And we may not need the whole thing.
Craig Thorson, Los Angeles County. The Merchandise Committee is in the process of trying to figure out how we can afford to print and put together the local organizing kits that have been completed. There is also talk on the national level about regional spokespeople / trainers to help regionally across the nation. Michael referred to that. Within the DAC, there seems to be a premise that every state has to have two people. We have to have two delegates per state in order to have gender balance. That's an absolute requirement. Well, with a national committee of 140 people, that would allow California under the current apportionment of 9 delegates to the national committee. If we go down to 1 delegate per state, then that would put us back up to about a 20%. That would give us 14 or 15. So there's a lot of things under consideration in regard to that. It's a tough question. I think the current apportionment is as good as anything we've talked about in the committee already.
Before you go on, a quick announcement. The host committee has printed some plenary packets.
Okay, I want to raise something with you initially on finances that we'll have to come back to the party, and especially our finance committee, Barry, wherever you are, in the future. Our current national party is funded in meaningful proportion by our political director who fundraises, Brent McMillan, for about a third of his time. We used to have a dedicated fundraiser named Kara Mullen. When she was like, go by the national party, they basically told Brent, if you want to keep your job, you got to start fundraising for it, etc. Now, Brent is leaving at the end of this year, so we're going through a lot of thinking about, do we keep a D.C. office? Do we have a virtual office? Do we move it to a different state? Who takes over the fundraising, etc.? One of the possibilities that has been raised that we haven't really thrashed through, but I got to research because I just spent 3 weeks in Canada, including meeting with a lot of their national people, is the Canadian Greens have had a company that phone banks for their national party or their federal party to their members, and it shares between their federal party and their provincial parties. Now, there is a current setup with our national party called state sharing where you can give a donation to the national party, you can check off and say half goes to the national, half goes to the state. The national party has been behind on paying us our share. They owe us about $3,000. We've talked about forgiving it or not. Okay, that's not on the agenda this time. But the interesting thing about this company that the Canadian Greens use,
and they can set it up so that the calls would look like it's coming from a U.S. zip or area code rather than the Canadians is. They're phone banking members, and they, when they did it very successfully, they did it on a script that was written by the party leader of the Canadian Greens, Jim Harris, at that time. That was before Elizabeth May. And then Jim would go into the office, actually, and when they're calling somebody and they say, well, this sounds good, you're this company calling for them, but I'd like to talk to a Green Party person. They actually had Jim there in the office and said, well, actually, our federal party leader is right here. And he'd get on the phone and blow him away. Now, when they had talked about it back then, and I'm waiting to find out if this still is possible now, is they were talking about setting it up so that if they're phone banking and then somebody asks, well, can we talk to a party official, that they can actually just forward that call into somebody's line. So our state spokespeople, for example, our candidates could be sitting at home knowing that they would have to be available from 7 to 9 on a Wednesday night, and then they might get a forwarded phone call from a party member who wants to do this. Now, if our state party gets it together, we produce a good state database of all of our members with the email addresses, and I know Laura's campaign has been working on that and developing that sort of infrastructure. Let's say that we have that and we actually email to everybody. In the past, just emailing isn't a great fundraising option, but if there is a phone banking that follows up those emails and is aggressive, that's going to turn out a lot more folks. And if we balance that out with this forwarding phone thing so the people in different parts of the state could receive that and then talk to them as well, starting with the script that we write. So one of the things that I think we're going to need to consider is, should we continue to go down the route that we're going now where we're having these state party snail mails that go out with the given percentage of return that we get, but we don't really have follow-up? Do we think we're going to get the volunteers out of our state party to do that follow-up? Or should we consider, in conjunction with whatever we're doing in the state, this national approach that would divide money nationally and state, but would actually have follow-up with real people who understand our platform, who are used to talking to Greens, and calling our members and follow-up whatever snail mail and email outreach we do. I personally think it might be interesting to try that out if we can also link it together with this phone call forwarding to our own people so that they'd be able to talk to, you know, flesh and blood here on the ground. So that's something that, if we go that way nationally, we will forward it to our finance committee to analyze, but I wanted to introduce that concept to you now.
Thanks. I'm Pat LaMarche. I've been on the national committee and the steering committee representing Maine, but I live in Pennsylvania right now. I just want to talk about that presidential thing. Oh yeah, I also ran for vice president. Oh, forget that. And real quickly, I appreciate you letting me speak because I realize this is your state gig. But you don't have to be a delegate to anything to be on that presidential committee. And that's the most important thing to know. You may have a neighbor at home who you know loves presidential politics, who loves what they believe in, and really, and there can't be enough of us on it. I am a girl. Figured I might make that clear too. See, this is, we're all coming out of the mystery world here. But I'll get on it, you know, I'll get on it. I mean, let's get on it. Let's do it. This is so important. The President of the United States is the most powerful person in the world. The whole world should be voting for the President of the United States, not just this stupid country. And we have the ability to make sure we have some fabulous candidates. And those candidates are as important as who is chosen at the end. Because we can be working a whole country talking about really important presidential politics. And if those bastards who run our ballot access laws are going to make us run presidential candidates, they're going to get a big pile of great ones.
As long as there's an open mic. I'm one of the people on the National Committee and on the Steering Committee who believes Craig Thorson, Los Angeles, sorry, I keep forgetting. I think we should have a virtual office. Our national budget has been the same or decreased for the last 3 years. I think it's ridiculous to think that we actually have to have an office in D.C. There's nothing in the GPUS mission statement that says that we have to have a presence there. The current mission statement says create a state Green Party federation and help those state Green Parties grow. That's it. It doesn't say we have to have a presence. It doesn't say we have to lobby. I think if we have a virtual office for the next 3 years, that maybe after that time we can save up enough money through our fundraising, growing the state green parties, so that we can afford to have an office in D.C. So I'm going to be pushing on that end. Does California have a state office? Okay. We have an address, we have a phone number, we have a... Okay. Yeah. And so it maybe we're not really ready. In 2008, we were in Chicago. We went in debt $60,000, having an awful location for an annual national meeting. Last year, we might have lost $1,000 on an annual meeting. So I think that it's very reasonable for us to say living in a college dormitory is where the Green Party's annual national meeting can afford to be now. We can't afford the Palmer Hilton Hotel in downtown Chicago, a five-star hotel. We don't have matching funds and that kind of stuff. The National also has to live within its budget.
I'm an open mic. Two other things. Michael Rubin brought up the Cindy Sheehan possibility, and I've also heard the grapevine that she is interested in seeking our nomination. If you believe that people like Cindy should be outreach to, then it's important for those of you who are on the National Committee list to put the idea out that you hope that the PCSC doesn't just do outreach internally, but does do the let's go to name progressives. I mentioned before that there's still that debate within our committee. I believe she should receive a questionnaire. Number two, one of the things that we're talking about asking those folks are, do they believe in the idea of having a green shadow cabinet run with the ticket? And, you know, would that make sense, et cetera? That's something that Glenn Hopkins, a Green from West L.A., has argued for in the past. National Party hasn't adopted it, but it's an interesting concept. I also want to touch on what Craig is saying. Craig, you weren't on the last SC call. First of all, I think you've missed the entire time. We missed you. I volunteered. I have to give Sanda and Craig and even myself some credit that in previous years, I don't think the steering committee has been very directed. And the fact that we tried at this national meeting to have open strategy sessions was a lot more aggressive than previous meetings have had. Whether we succeeded or not, at least we strategically tried to think out ahead. And I was tasked on our last call of preparing an advisory proposal to the National Committee to seek input for the budget process up front this year on the question Craig was talking about and trying to work through how do we get input on the variety of should we have a D.C. office, shouldn't we have a D.C. office? If we do it, which way should we do it? If we don't, which way should we do it? Should we go to another state or not? So I just wanted to say that we're trying to be practically out in front and get input because the national budget only needs a simple majority to pass. So in previous years, only 1 year was there not a national budget passed. But what happens is it comes out at the end of the year. There's all of this pressure to pass it so that there's money in place for the next year. But therefore, you kind of feel compelled to vote for it even if you don't like it that much. But this is the first year where we've aggressively gone in advance trying to get input from the National Committee much sooner. And the national fiscal policy, which is going to be passed sometime in September and October, most likely, also is going to lock in dates for future years for upfront input by the National Committee that hasn't happened in the past. And I just want to say that Craig and Sanda, in her time on, and Craig, have been much more proactive in making the National Party less rudderless than it was in the past. And to finish on that, those of you long-timers in the state may remember that when we got on the ballot, we didn't have a structure. Our structure when we started our party in the early 90s was to qualify for the ballot. It was a signature petition drive. It wasn't to operate as a state party. We did a restructuring in 94 that didn't pass. We did another one in 99 and 2000 that did pass to fit our needs at the time. The National Party was birthed after the Nader campaign in 2000, but never sat down and in part to get Federal Election Committee recognition so that the GPUSA, our predecessor organization, which didn't really follow along with the plan of starting a national party with state parties, was taking a lot of money from people who were donating because people thought they were the national party. We needed to grab National Committee status, but when we did it, there wasn't really a plan on setting a national party up. And the committee structure and the rules has just been one glob piled on one glob with no larger strategic vision pulling it together. So part of the reason the national
isn't really clear. I don't want to blame anybody, but there hasn't been a time to really stop the merry-go-round. And I do think that Craig and Sandra and I have tried to play that role since we've been on there. Thank you.
And a closing statement, I just want to say that if you we are on the California website, cagreens.org/delegates. And there's a link to there to the committees, so like I said, the national committees. If you're interested in working at the national level, but please don't do it at the cost of your local. If you can wear both hats somehow, please consider working on the national level as well. So now we're going to go into the breakout session.
Okay, we're going to do the committee working group breakout sessions. The first session. Meeting is the Finance Committee, Platform Committee, and Campaigns and Candidates Working Group. A question back there? I couldn't hear.